Together we come into your holy presence with all our needs, with all prayer requests, with everything what affects us. Lord, be nigh to us. Give us the power of faith and courage to take you at your word and to be in expectation that your promises are yes and amen, and therefore must find fulfillment. Lord, sanctify this room, sanctify our hearts, purify our minds, tune us in with you and your word. Lord, come into our midst, speak and work, save, heal and deliver. Bless us from the riches of your grace. May your name be hallowed. May your kingdom come and your will be done. Lord, this is the deepest longing of our heart, to be now found in your will, to be found in your word, being led by your spirit. Worship and glory be to your wonderful name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I will never leave him. I will never leave him. Never ever. When I hear the word will in this song, I want to exchange it with the word can. Never I can leave him. Brother Branham made once a wonderful statement: God doesn't save us today to lose us again tomorrow, but he saves us so that we are saved forever. This is a divine fact. Now, most certainly we can still sing. There are two or three things that I need to draw your attention to. And then we go briefly into the Word and then into prayer. God willing, we will still in these days, on an afternoon, a sermon, maybe two, we will play two sermons which Brother Branham preached 1955, probably the one from Zurich and the other from Karlsruhe. It will do us all good to hear a sermon in which there is a time gap for the translator. When I translate, then there is no gap. Then he speaks through in a sermon, but there he speaks through an interpreter, And with that, the opportunity is given to hear it very well and to understand it. I think it will be a great blessing for everyone. What concerns the practical part, so I was asked to urge the parents and to admonish them to watch over their children. It's really like this, that the elderly brothers and sisters between the services have a need to rest. And when it's then going up and down in the staircase, and this with all might, and the light switches are turned on and off, then this is not right. May all parents take on the task. The house of God shall always be in order and an example, if it's somehow possible. Please take care for it, for others are disturbed, and then the blessing is gone. Furthermore, I learned a great lesson. That means I went today into my sheep shelter, and I have seen that somebody feeded them who should not have fed them. He poured out a bucket of peelings into the shelter. And I thought by myself, what a great lesson. What a lesson. There are sheep, there is the food, and somebody, most certainly it was a child. An adult cannot do that. And the nice food is trampled underfoot instead of being eaten. And I thought on the words of our Lord, which he addressed to Peter, "Feed my sheep." And I'm not angry. I had only one thought. O Lord, give me the grace to give unto your flock your word, your food in the right way, so that nothing falls off and is trampled underfoot, but that all eat and are strengthened. Sometimes also such things are half a sermon, not to say a whole sermon. In the same way, it can be that self-appointed shepherds scatter some things without being aware of. May God give us shepherds after his heart, who look after his sheep, after his flock in these last days, as he announced it through the prophet Ezekiel. I myself will take care of my sheep and will heal the wounded, and so forth. May God heal, alleviate pain and help. Between the morning service and now, I had at least 5 or 6 telephone calls. All needs which we must bring to God, of various kinds, but everywhere the intervening of God is necessary, especially one sister who is terribly tormented by the devil. And she said, literally, "Brother Frank, I am overcome. The foam is at my mouth. And I do things which I don't want to do at all." And we see then how necessary a divine equipping with the Spirit is, so that the captives are set free, so that they are loosed to serve God and to experience the liberty. The same sister told me, "Brother Frank, I want to believe, but until now I didn't experience yet what it means to really have been set free." And also this touched my heart. We have to be acquainted with the fact that we not just preach some kind of gospel as an entertainment for the believers, but the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God. And we believe that Jesus Christ is the same even today. If we only can come into the right attitude of our hearts, so that He can work always. God used men to speak and to work. Also there, Brother Branham has said, all of the fullness of God was poured in Jesus Christ, and all of the fullness of Jesus Christ was poured into the church at Pentecost, to from there on carry on the divine ministry and to continue it. And to this, God wants to give us grace and also use these days for it, that we become aware of this great task together anew, and also being aware of the fact that we have been placed into a spiritual battle. With this, everybody must count. And in a battle, there are two front lines, and the enemy is our opponent, not a brother and not a sister. And this we want to distinguish always very clear. If God is with us, we will have heartfelt mercy, kindness, and humbleness, and we will bear one another in the love of God, and we will focus on one thing. Firstly, on our Lord who walks before us. Secondly, we will recognize the enemy, and then giving him no room anymore. May God give us spiritual discernment. May He help that we can contribute to the edification, to the upbuilding, so that He could bless us and make us a blessing. I would like, before we then again pray, I would like to read from the same chapter. This morning we read from Matthew, chapter 7. Matthew, chapter 7. We read verse 7 and 8. From verse 9 it says, "Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him?" To this, one doesn't have to say much. One just needs to take the said things to heart and believe it to be true. Is it hard for us to believe that a father would give his son or his daughter, when there is hunger, that he would give a stone instead of bread? That is impossible. The cruelest father would not do that. He would have mercy. He would know what satisfies hunger, and he would give bread. How much more our Heavenly Father? He knows with what the spiritual hunger can be satisfied. He knows what we need to strengthen us spiritually. And we of course come together to partake of this divine food. And our Lord repeated the word from the Old Testament: man does not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth from the mouth of God. It is our spiritual food. God wants to strengthen us. He wants to make us strong. He wants to give us courage. He wants to say to us, I have led you this far, and I kept you, and I will take care that you reach the destination. God wants to give us gifts in these days. He wants to reveal himself to us. He wants to feed us. He wants to strengthen, to settle and establish us. He wants to deeply convince us that he knows precisely what we have need of. And until now, we may give him the glory. He at all times has given the right word, and it became our spiritual food. But now we go one step further. Our Lord says, I have a food of which you do not know. And then he goes another step further and says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. So, the word of God comes to us as spiritual food. But God strengthens us by it and makes us able to do his will. It has to go hand in hand and be connected. I read again, or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? That is far from it. The most brutal father doesn't do that. Who there can be on earth? If we ask God for that what he has promised to us, then he will not give us anything other than what he has promised. God is no different. He keeps what he promises. Then the emphasis is once again laid on it. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? We will not only ask, we will also believe. This morning we read, ask and it will be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And then the statement, where would be a father who would not satisfy the hunger of his child? Where would be someone whose heart would not empathize? This all fathers know, and all mothers, that they would rather forgo the bread themselves to give it to their children. Our God is a faithful Heavenly Father. He wants us to be well. He does not want to withhold anything from us that He has intended and promised us. With this word is still a great lesson connected. It is written in verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. This is a very strong statement. All things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. We tend to expect much from others, and we know precisely what everyone should do, how he should speak, how he should behave, of all what shall be done. This we all know. Maybe I'm mistaken, but it would be nice if that were the case. We know precisely, like everyone else should act, how he should walk, what he should do. We measure it exactly, and our measurement is always right. At least we are convinced of it. But if we now turn the thing around and place it biblically, then it says here, I like to read it again. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. What do we expect from the people? What do you want that others do to you? We all wish us blessing, understanding with one another and with God, but this doesn't come automatically. Also, in the kingdom of God, there are rules which must be observed. In the English-speaking countries, this verse is called the golden rule of the Bible. Every child in the Sunday school knows it. If it's about what is the golden rule, then they all know it. Here it is written in Matthew, in chapter 7, in verse 12. The golden rule for the people of God. And in it, everything that the law and the prophets had to say is summarized in a single sentence. Everything what you wish yourself, what you like most, what is most comfortable to you. Let this come to your brother, to your sister, and to your neighbor. Let us not wait that others start. Let us start, so that it can again return unto us. In this connection, we also recognize what Paul wanted to say. Don't repay evil with evil, or scolding with scolding. No, the love of God bears all things, endures all things, believes all things. The love of God envieth not. What a privilege to be put in a position by God that every word which is written here through our life finds confirmation and becomes a divine reality. Can you believe it, that God can bring us there? Do we at least expect it? We cannot just say, no, this we cannot do. This may even be right. Through own efforts, it remains with all the good intentions. And this already old evangelists preached, that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. The intentions are not enough. There must be a divine intention in our hearts and the longing in us that this word becomes a reality. And then great things happen. Then there is love, joy, peace, one accord. Then we are one heart and one soul. Then we can raise our voice with one accord to God. And then the place will be shaken. Then those who are bound are set free. Then the demons must tremble. We are dealing with a defeated enemy. For on Calvary, a perfect work of redemption took place. Satan has lost every right on every believer. But look, the Lord met a woman who was walking, bent down, and suddenly he addresses her and says, this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who is tormented 18 years by the devil, should she not be allowed to be delivered? What was it? He has come to bless, to save, to deliver. He said literally, the Son of Man did not come to condemn the world, but that it is saved through him. This is the gospel, and this gospel cannot be separated from him who brought the redemption. The redeemed can also not be viewed separately from the Redeemer. As the creation is an expression of the Creator, so the redeemed are the result of the redemption which was given to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. As on one hand one brings the Creator and the creation into connection, so it must now come to the point that the Redeemer and the redeemed are brought into a connection and relation toward one another. In the nature, everything runs as the Creator has arranged it. Day and night alternate, summer and winter, sowing and harvest, everything as the Lord God has said it. The hardship is with the Church of the Living God. The hardship is with you and with me. And we time and again have to be astonished at the love and patience of our Lord. We would have given up long ago. Yes, we might have already given up ourselves. And sometimes we come into situations where the enemy is just about to say, "Man, give up at last. You won't make it anyhow." Let us not listen to the influences of the evil one, but let us pay attention to that what God has said, namely He who started the good work in you, He will also finish it. And sometimes it might come to the point that one really almost says, "No, I can't anymore." How often did we emphasize it here? When the people of Israel were led out and stood in front of the Red Sea, behind them the enemies, before them the Red Sea. Just being in a squeeze, being pushed into a squeeze. And suddenly the Lord said to Moses, "Lift up your rod over the sea." And God made a way where there was no way. Sometimes we might come into situations where there is really no way anymore. And then we become still. There is nothing left for us but to call upon the Lord. And then we find out, there, where there was no way, there He makes one through the midst of the sea. And the Bible says, and this I like very much, the water stood at both sides like a wall. God took care for it, that His redeemed people have not been put to shame. Should we be put to shame who we have put our trust in God? This is impossible. For thus it is written, no one is put to shame who puts his trust in God. Shall I read it to you from the prophet Isaiah? God has really said it in His word. Temptations come, tribulations come, misunderstandings come. Yes, sometimes everything seems to collapse over us. But then we find out that our faith has an anchor which reaches behind the veil. That's how it is written in Hebrews. And what did we hear yesterday? The veil was rent. Our anchor is not therein what the Levites do in the outer court, or therein what the priests are doing in the sanctuary. Our faith is anchored and therein what God has done in the Holy of Holies. And then we are helped. Then we pass by the Levites and priests and end up with God in the Holy of Holies. And then comes new strength. Then we see no one anymore but Jesus Christ, the crucified one and the risen one, and Him to whom was given all power in heaven and on earth. For me, these are precious truths, but which all want to be experienced, must be experienced. Where is your anchor of faith? Somewhere in the outer court, right and left Levites, and in the sanctuary priests who do this and that, perhaps right or wrong, there we will always be put to shame. But if we understood that God has revealed Himself in the Holy of Holies, and that there is the Ark of the Covenant and the Mercy Seat, and we entered in by faith and have fixed there our anchor, then the storms can rage. The more the storms rage, the more superior you feel when you can be safe. I just enjoy it when I may stand somewhere sheltered, and when the winds are raging and the storm really crisscrosses, when I'm sheltered and safe in it, it doesn't bother me at all. I can even, if it is sheltered, I can go on the balcony, and when there is lightning and thundering and storming, the more mighty all this is, the more comfortable I feel, because I may be safe. Beloved, there is no storm and no power which could loosen us if our anchor of faith lays behind the veil, which was rent right at the mercy seat, next to the Ark of the Covenant, anchored there. Then everything shall rage and storm around us. The anchor holds, because God has fixed it there. How did Brother Branham say so nicely? Of the one man who wanted to make efforts to hold fast to the hand of the Lord. And suddenly, this man must hear, "It's not you who holds me, but it's my hand which holds you." If we would have hold fast to Him, how often the strength would have left us. He holds us with His pierced hands. The Holy Scripture says we have been engraved in His hands. Let us in these days recognize that God has done great things on us. He has called us out, not to establish a new religion or to practice a bit religious politics. No, He says, "On that day on which I do it, ye shall be unto me a special possession." God has a high purpose connected with it when He redeemed us. I probably said it last time in Zurich. The core of all of God's plan of salvation is His redeemed church. And if God would have 1,000 things in His plan, yet the core of all of His plan of salvation would be the redeemed church purchased by the blood. Whatever else God has taken into His plan, it's okay for us. But the core, the heart of this divine plan was the redemption of all them who shall behold the face of God. What a grace! We have not been included by God somewhere at the edge, but by His grace we may be the heart, the core of this divine plan of salvation. And therefore, God speaks with us in such an insisting way. He wants to put an end to our superficiality. He wants to bring us into an inner desperation, into an agony of our soul. According to the scripture, my soul cries to God, to the living God, as a deer panteth for the water. So my soul panteth after thee, O God. May it please the Lord to work faith in us by his precious and holy word. And may he give to the faith the courage, and to the courage the obedience, that we dare it and say like Peter, upon your word. What was it? The Lord said to Peter, come to me. Come. There's water. The pavement is missing. No street is here. But he went. He was allowed to walk by faith. And when they were fishing the whole night and caught nothing, you all know the conversation. Lord, we fished the whole night and caught nothing, not one fish. And the Lord says, cast out the nets to the right side. And a real fisherman knows that there is nothing to be caught during the day. And then comes the sentence, Lord, upon your word. And what happened? What happened? Upon your word. This obedience of faith brought such a multitude with it that the nets almost burst. And what happened with the disciples? The fear of God came upon them, and they recognized, this is our Lord. On his word we can rely. Although it might be contrary to any intellect, if he has said it, then it happens. And it happened. It's even happening today. I see Brother Geiler here. I was glad. He was terminally ill. And you all know here how it was upon our hearts that God should touch him. And he has given a wonderful testimony of that, what God has done on him. Upon your word, if we fully understood this as brothers, who we may and shall minister, and if all who come for prayer have understood the same by faith, that it's of course not the hands of a man or the oil which one puts upon the forehead, that it's not men with whom we are dealing, but a word of the Lord which we put into practice. What did Mary say then? Not speaking in general, but may it be done unto me as you have said. God speaks to us very personal. And then we say by faith, be it unto me as you have said. This refers to every promise which the Lord has given us in his word. And then will also be fulfilled what we read here. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. It's a clear text. It doesn't need any interpretation or explanation. That what we expect from all brothers and sisters, that what would be pleasant and lovely to us, this we want to give and grant to everybody. And suddenly we will notice that the same things which we wished to others wholeheartedly are also coming back to us. And this in a double portion, for God is able to multiply everything. All of the nature, everything is determined to multiply. God can also increase our faith. He can reveal unto us the meaning of all these words in our hearts. If ye then, being evil, all right, we can be told that there is no man who is good. And forgive me, I hope the Lord also does it. But one day came a man to Jesus and said, "Good Master," and the Lord puts him off and says, "Nobody is good but God alone." Here he spoke not as Lord, here he spoke as the Son of Man, who in the form of a servant walked on this earth. And immediately the thread was cut. No one is good but God alone. Should somebody be here who thinks he is the personification of the good, let me tell you, then the eyes are not yet opened. Then we didn't face God yet and did not understand that He is a holy God and a consuming fire before no man can stand his ground. Here we are told, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? We have no special wishes and nothing that we can still desire here on earth. No high goals anymore. We want to remain sober and wait unto the coming of the Lord and pursue everything as we have up to now. But our hearts are longing for to have an experience with God. I would like to see the day with my own eyes when every word of promise of our God will come true before our eyes, in our hearts, in our lives. God is a God of reality. This we time and again emphasized. Everything what comes from God leads back to God and connects with Him and is divine reality. Justification, sanctification, forgiveness, reconciliation, everything is divine reality. Let us receive it by faith. Let us say it in our hearts, or bring it even over our lips. Lord, all this has become divine reality when you died on the cross of Calvary. Forgiveness is a thing which God has given us, a gift which we may receive, which we have received. Everything is divine reality. No doctrine, but an experience. Today we have the doctrine about justification and about all the other biblical subjects. What good is a doctrine? God leads to the experience. Have not all men of God, from Abraham until the end, experienced God as the true one? Have not the promises come true? Did Abraham have to interpret after God gave him the promise that he will have the son? He didn't need to interpret. The day came, Isaac was born. The word of promise was a reality. This was the result. Not an interpretation, no doctrine, but reality. Oh, that we could grasp it by faith. If God's word is realized, then the Lord doesn't need 100 interpreters. Then he needs 1,000 who believe it, that it becomes a reality in them. That's how it always was, and that's how it will be now at the end. When Simeon came into the temple, he didn't take a doctrine into his hands. He took the divine reality, the result, the sum of all that, what the prophets announced. And he says, Lord, now you let your servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen the salvation of God. Not a doctrine, not a interpretation. If we in these days hear the various interpretations, oh, then there is sorrow in your heart. God is not someone who pushes things off and interprets them. God watches over his word to bring it then to fulfillment. In fact, everything will become a divine reality. The resurrection of those who sleep in Christ, the translation of them who live in him, the rapture, the meeting in the air, the marriage supper, everything, in fact everything, will be a divine reality. And for this, we are grateful with all our hearts. May the faithful God just strengthen us, that we all could feel how well he means with us. He doesn't come here with a rod or with a stick to strike. As a father has mercy on his children, so God has mercy on all who fear him, not to bash on us or to destroy us, but to heal the bruised, the wounded ones, to bind them up, to help those who cannot help themselves, to save the lost, to heal the sick, to confirm his word on all of us. That's how we find God, in his word. And until now, I didn't hear that he has changed. He remains the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Let us take it with us from this afternoon hour. All things whatsoever ye would that men should say of you, what they should do to you, and so forth, do ye even so to them. And then it will fall back on us, on each one of us. May the Lord make this text in our lives a golden rule, to a golden text. You all want that only good things are said about you. Start with it, that really, without exception, to do it about everybody. And I quote here Brother Branham. He said, there is also something good to say about everyone. And if you cannot do this, then be silent and say nothing at all. If you think that there is nothing good in this man and nothing good could be said about him, then be silent. But if you check carefully, then you find on a man about whom some things are said, all of a sudden you find, this and that and this. And you emphasize it. What do you think? What happens then? Then the windows of heaven open, a stream of the divine blessing, which no one can stop. Do you know what I will tell you in closing? Many were desiring the teaching which went forth in general. Now the time has come where we receive the practical teaching for our faith life and where we must receive it with all our hearts, so that we, in our spiritual growth, don't stand still or even waste away, but that we can walk forward in faith. I just feel the presence of God. The Lord is in our midst. He speaks with us as a father speaks with his sons and daughters with whom he means well. And that God means well with us, this we can all believe with all our hearts. May this anchor reach behind the veil, having been fixed, and may we live in this conviction that our God will finish the started work in all of us by His grace. Can you all believe it? Amen. Let us stand up and thank the Lord. Jesus is the victor over death. Jesus is the victor who makes all things well. Jesus is the victor throughout eternity. For me, Jesus has won the victory already. Hallelujah, I'm saved through His blood. Hallelujah, I'm so well. Hallelujah, the Savior is mine. Hallelujah, how nice it is to be saved. We want to keep our heads bowed and in silence and reverence, persevering before the Lord. Maybe some are still in a inner battle. Precious heart, give yourself up today into the hand of the Savior. Don't cling to sin, which keeps you with its curse, as the song goes. Today, the Lord, your Redeemer, stretches forth His hand to you. He doesn't condemn, He saves. He doesn't rebuke, He makes no accusations. He helps, He delivers. He forgives, He reconciles, He heals. Today, now, it can happen. Thousands upon thousands have experienced it. they can give testimony of it. Also you can experience it today. It can become the most beautiful day of your life. For this is the nicest day which God ever gave me, when Jesus came into my dark life, as the song goes. For whom has the hour come? Who is it whom the Lord calls today? Do not harden your hearts. It's the time of grace, but which will soon come to its end. And therefore, the Lord calls, so insistent and urges, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I will refresh you. I will give you rest for your soul. As all heads are bowed and all eyes are closed and all hearts are open, does anybody have the courage and the wish to raise his hand and to show thereby that we should remember you or them in prayer? Then please raise briefly your hand and put them down again. God sees hands. God sees hearts. I knew that God has spoken with us today. And I'm grateful that we can give him this answer and that we may come to him. Let us sing the chorus together, just as I am. Let us raise our hands a little and sing in submission to the Lord once again. He gives to everyone today the same promise as then. He who comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. He receives and he accepts. Right now, believe it, ye are redeemed. Your guilt and sin is atoned and forgiven on the cross, on Calvary. Receive it by faith. What is then still left for you is to say thanks to the Lord your God and say, faithful Savior, you died for me, you suffered for me, you let yourselves be bruised and crucified, and you redeemed me. I come now to you. Receive me. And then comes the assurance of faith that he received us. And from now on, we may be the children of God by His grace. We pray still together. I would like to ask Brother Geiler that he prays with us. We thank you for our redemption. You let us see the light. The star of Bethlehem still shines today, and it illuminates them who come reverently before you. I thank you, Lord, for these days which we can experience. For you have prepared something for us. We exalt you as the God who is the same from eternity to eternity. We thank you that you came to this earth to redeem us. We glorify this holy and precious blood. We thank you for this perfect redemption. May the people recognize it who are in this building. May they be touched by the power of the Holy Spirit who is poured upon all flesh. May the hearts and the mouths be open to praise you and to thank you, for you prepared something for all our lives. We thank you for it. We praise and glorify you for your glorious coming, which is very soon. And you will fulfill it in your people. Your name be highly praised and exalted. Who is like you, the God of eternity, who came to this earth and who redeemed us? Praise, glory, honor, and worship to your name. Amen. We'll give the glory to Jesus and tell of His love. And tell of His love. Amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you.